All right, so welcome to Office Hours. There's been a little bit of a gap before the last one that we had. That's because I was away for the holiday period, but I'm back, and we're back to regular scheduled broadcasting with the Office Hours Tuesday at 4 p.m. my time zone, which is Pacific. You can check the Office Hours wiki page for it in other time zones. So this is the AMA Office Hours, where you can ask questions about NEOS, and we go through them in the order that is shown in the thread, which I just created. I see some questions in there, so we'll get started on those questions. So we have a question here from Arigabus, who says, how does NEOS handle lag composition? That actually, I can't answer. I think I know what's going on, but I don't want to be unauthoritative. The netcode, netcode being the sort of stuff that glues together the synchronization and the way that NEOS speaks to other people in the session, isn't something I've taken a good look at. I'm aware of sort of parts of how it works, and I'm not aware of how all of that works. If you expand your question with additional sort of like elaboration or areas that you're looking at, I might be able to help further. Otherwise, I'm sorry, I can't answer that one. Moving forward to unnamed cyborg cat who asks, what has NEOS achieved in 2022? You can check the NEOS updates channel or the announcers channel for stuff that we have done in 2022 that is published. Again, if you expand or elaborate your question into additional areas or avenues, it might be easier to answer, but that's a really broad question. Moving forwards to Arubis's second question, which says, is there any updates for NEOS planned for this year or next year? And there are always updates planned. We just can't do them currently. See announcements, etc., etc. And with that, unfortunately, we're out of questions. So keep them coming. Otherwise, we'll be sat here in unimaginable, unending, tormenting silence, waiting for questions. Although I do think I could probably take the gap in questions as an opportunity to wish you all the very best for the new year. I had many difficulties typing the word 2023 today. I had to put it into the thread. I had to put it into the various other things as well. So we have another question here from Jack, who says, how was New Year's? I spent it at Gaines's house. Gaines throws a sort of almost annual tradition now, which is a party at his house for New Year's. It was great. Saw a lot of New Year's people there. Met some new faces. Saw some old faces. Lots of fun was had. Chicago says, how is your own personal work on medical visualization going? It's going well. There's not really much to say on top of the videos I produced sort of in November, December last year. That's sort of where we're at right now. We're doing some additional exploration into sort of what's going on there, but I'm ready to share right now. Okay, so Jekyll Girl says, if you're very old, you might refer to January as Checkuary, the month where you accidentally write the previous year on your checks. I'm not that old. I haven't written out checks. I'm aware that like some businesses and landlords and like rental places still don't understand direct deposit, but like you don't need checks anymore. You just use what's called direct deposit. So your money can go straight in your bank and the rent can come straight back out again. I've heard many a story about landlords who don't understand direct deposit and they want their like rent in cash. And I'm just like, are they filing taxes on your rental? Is it a legal rental? They're being paid in cash. It's a bit weird. You should at least get paperwork if you're paying a rent in cash. Make sure you get paperwork, invoice for rent. The fact that it's been received and signed and stuff like that, like crazy. Sometimes they want checks. That's like okay-ish, but you should encourage them to use direct deposit. The weirdness I have is like if they don't need cash or if they won't accept cash or, sorry, if they won't accept direct deposit, which means cash or check, then they have to come visit you and you have to talk to them. Like, I don't want to talk to my landlord. It's not a desire I have. If I talk to them, it means something is wrong. So direct deposit, the rent just goes straight to them. I don't know when, it just does. When I see it, but you know, it's not something I do manually. Moving forwards to Arubis' question, who says, is it possible to make a web server in Logix, in NEOS with Logix? No. Logix is a language-ish that interacts with the NEOS world and the NEOS data model, and the NEOS engine, and so it's limited in what it can do. There are some things it can do that sort of exceed the bounds of NEOS, for example, the HTTP or WebSocket nodes. But remember that it is running within another engine. So you can't do it to you, you can't use it to solve generic tasks. It's sort of the equivalent of saying, can you make a web server in Redstone in Minecraft? Like, I hope that helps you sort of picture it in your head. Moving forward to another question, Abysmal says, is there currently a maximum of users that can join a session? Do you know how many avatars NEOS is aiming to support at once? Can we expect NEOS to be usable for MMO player accounts? There isn't a maximum which is enforced by anything that is decision-based. So the only maximum would be like a technical one. So it's probably something close to one of the binary numbers, but I wouldn't know which one it was without looking. I know it's in high as 50. I'm pretty sure it can go higher than that. Like there's no real like limit that we have made a decision about. As for what we're aiming for, We are aiming to make that better, to get that number up, particularly to get that number up to sort of, you know, more of sort of VR chat style levels. I don't know if we're aiming or able to get it to the MMO play account. We'd need much more culling there. We'd probably need automatic culling. I know that the community are great in putting all the culling systems into their world, but you shouldn't have to. Like, we should have a native solution. So once we have that, it should make every world able to be culled, as well as the culled sessions that you see from the systems that people are making and installing in there. And then Rigibus also asks, is it possible to make auto-lod? Sort of. The problem with level of detail is it depends on what you mean. So in games, level of detail is usually just sort of like stuff will look less detailed the further away you are from it. You can sometimes see that pop in, which is where they've done LODs slightly incorrectly, where, you know, you'll sort of like go over the threshold of a doorway or something, and the contents of the room inside will turn from sort of shit tier to like amazing tier graphics. That's an example of LOD being done incorrectly, to do it in a way where it's not noticeable. You can absolutely do some LOD systems there, but the limitation is that the LODs are always loaded in. So for example, if you're a high poly one or a low poly one, that's still loaded into the world. You're just swapping between them for rendering. So while you do maybe get a little hit for rendering, which is better, you'll lose that on the sort of model being in memory. In the games thing, they try and load only the details that you need. So if you never visit an area, they don't load the high poly version of that area, for example. There is a GitHub issue for more LOD related stuff. Yeah, the inbuilt LOD one is like a little weird. We do have a LOD component. It's weird. So we have another question here from Arubus, who says, how do I measure distance from a player to an object in Logix? So the easiest way to do that would be to grab a slot reference to both the player and a slot reference to the object. Make sure they're both in global by using the global transform node. That's just easier. And then plug both of their positions, the global position of the player and the global position of the object, into the distance node, which exists in an operators or math language. That'll calculate you the distance. If you want to do it automatically, there are various things. Use a distance value driver and stuff like that. They'll handle the whole like global local mess for you. But that's how you do it. It's just a mathematical thing. The distance between two objects is just the difference in their position. And then you normalize everything, and the distance node will also magnitude that out because it's a three-dimensional thing. JBot says, question, similar to surgical visual planning, where are there other projects where Neo's focus on building digital workspaces, be it for dining and manufacturing? Not that I'm aware of, but probably. I mean, there's like, God knows what going on. Like, not that I'm aware of. Moving on to Rigibus, who says, can Neo's interface with a drawing tablet? Depends on what you mean. You can put the Neo screen on a drawing tablet, and then the pen will work with it. As in, when you push, if it's like, you know, if it operates as a mouse, like, where you put the pen will push. We do not interface with the drawing tablet's sort of pressure sensors or smoothness, angle sensors, or anything like that. It would literally just be a click, a touch screen. Like one of those really bad touch screens. You know, like an airport touch screen? Yeah, one of those. I was on a lot of planes over the holidays, and in-flight entertainment systems, god damn, their touch screens are bad. Yeah, specs, I answered their question verbally. Wraith, what IDE do you use these days? I am on a mixture of Visual Studio Code for anything that is not compiling. If it needs compiling, I usually try to go to Visual Studio. I hate to be boring, but I need stuff to just work, and once it works, I don't really have like much inkling to change it. So getting Neo's compiling in Visual Studio was like a 2-week effort, and now it works. I'm like, cool, let's not break that. Rugaba says, how smooth does Neo's run on the Raspberry Pi 3? I don't know. I don't own a Raspberry Pi 3. I own a Raspberry Pi 4, a Raspberry Pi 0, and a Raspberry Pi 2. So I don't know. I skipped the 3. You're more than welcome to try. That is what's called an empirical question. Rampa says that it's not boring, with the community VS license being pretty good. It is good. What I meant by that is, like, some people expect, I don't know, cool tools or better workflows, etc. Lex asks, would you know what causes the loading indicator for a world to stay open and never finish? I don't know. There's a bug open for it, though. All right, so we have another question here from Arugabus, who says, how does Neo's multiplayer architecture work? Is the Neo's backend just a big database with reference to IP addresses that contain the public instances? Again, your question is more focused, but it's still unfocused. So there are two parts of the multiplayer architecture. So there's the stuff where we communicate to the cloud, and then there's the stuff where we communicate to the session host. And those are two different things. They do overlap in some cases, but those are two different things. So again, it depends what you mean. Based on the second part of your question, though, I'll assume we're talking about session listening. In that case, session listening is just a big database with a reference of where to connect. there might not be an IP address. It might be like some other route or some other thing. Sometimes it's a bit more complicated than that. But yeah, that's the session list. It's a big database. Keep the questions coming, guys. Agrippa says, how do I switch between sessions and desktop? I know the session list facet thing, but that requires anything. The dashboard that hasn't been implemented for desktop. You can't alt tab as far as I'm aware. Jack said you could. Control tab, shift tab. You can look at that on the control tab then. Okay, guys. Make sure to read the basic controls wiki page, which has a lot of sort of shortcuts, which aren't documented anywhere, and tell you how to use it. That's our bad. We'll fix that as soon as we can. Additionally to that, the original way that you are meant to transit between sessions without the facet which I made and without the legacy world switcher is if you go to the active sessions tab of the world browser, you'll see the sessions that you're in there at the top, and you can select them there and then click focus world on the pop-up that appears. So those are a variety of ways to do it. I thought that that was potentially confusing and not like a short path. That's why I made that facet. There's lots of praise for the world's ruin facet. That's the one I made. I just got annoyed and I solved a problem, and everyone else was like, I'm annoyed by that too. And they just like everyone installed it. It was great. Yeah, we are investigating making that into some sort of default facet. The stuff pending. The portal Nexus world. So Lex is talking about a world I made where there's an active sessions portal for each world. I hacked the world browser apart to make that work. So that world is technically a world browser where I've convinced it not to make UIX stuff. I never intended it for it to work or people to enjoy going there. It's just sort of like, Rugabus is asking what portals are and how they work. I've seen some people mess with them. I can understand what they did and how it worked. Do you mean camera portals or world portals? Just make a second screen, Rampa. That's what I did. Camera portals. Okay, so camera portals are somewhat similar to, and it's kind of like good to view them like this, having another headset in the world that you can sort of look through. So what it does is it makes a camera, like a traditional camera, but it renders it stereoscopically. So the left eye is different from the right eye. And it does that according to your headset, your rendering, etc. But only when you're looking at that camera portal's like rendering pane. So it's like having like another headset camera, you know, with the two left eye, right eye thing in the world. That's really all it is. It's just like a rendering trick where we get sort of a stereoscopic camera. Another word for it literally would be stereoscopic camera. The bit that makes it cool and more portal-like, though, is the ability to move the camera location separately from the rendering location, which, of course, you can technically do with a camera as well. It's just really confusingly named. But it is like a portal to another like part of the world or another area. There's really not much to them, though. You just like create a new object portal. There you go, done. You can make them different shapes, different sizes. They don't need to be square. You can put them on like rings and stuff. That's always cool. That's how the portal guns usually work. Agrippa says, what kind of optimizations can I do for big worlds? For big worlds, you need to make sure that you are culling. So grab one of the culling systems that already exists or make your own. Not only culling objects, but also culling players. So make sure that's happening. You need to balance your sounds so that you don't have more than 32 sounds running, or like some of them will like not work. You need to make sure that your assets are optimized effectively. For example, I once had to help a game design student who was trying to do a project at university, and their Unity project wouldn't compile, and I found out that they had a million trees in their scene because they wanted a forest, and so they'd put a million individual trees in their scene. No. That's not how you should do it. So do keep an eye on that. The way that you do it is you should have up close, you should have some trees. But as you go further and further away, you should transition to lower and lower poly trees, and at a certain point, just a picture of trees. And that's how you do it. Other than that, it's like the contents low. Do you need 8K textures on this piece of concrete? Probably not. Everything on the dash can be resized. Everything. So the world browser itself, so I'm jumping around a little bit. There's comments about the world browser going on. The world browser is composed of essentially four facets. There's the filter list on the left, which has everything, active sessions, features, etc. There's the grid in the middle, which is all the sessions. And then there is the search bar at the top middle and the pagination bar on the top right. Those are all facets. You can move them around exactly like other facets. As for questions, Spec says, are there any plans to update the content hub in the future? I would love... I kind of love the place, and it would be a little sad if it got left in dust in favor of a minute more convenient dashboard UIs. I do believe that the content team have plans to update it. For anyone who's unaware of what the content hub is, that is the space station satellite space station thingy which was used in a lot of streams until the Twitch house got created. And then it's meant to be like a content hub. It's meant to be, I guess, a little bit like the VR chat home, where, you know, there's like, you can go discover what's out there. It was deprioritized for the MTC and, you know, busy working on other stuff. So I hope it returns in. Ray said that'd be kind of more of a question for the content team. Yeah. If the content team had an office hours, maybe that'd be cool. I don't know. I mean, you can ask them questions at Workshop Wednesday. That's usually where I catch them. I can catch them whenever I want. But, you know, if you're a user, you want to ask the content team questions, try the Workshop Wednesday stream. Yeah, I understand that Workshop Wednesday is on hiatus. That's usually where I can. Moving on to Rigibus's question. When importing assets from Blender, is there any, don't at team members, at me. If you need to add a team member, at me. Like, I can take it. I'm weird like that. I can like just process notifications quite well. Is there any kind of thing I need to do in a Blender project to make it work better? I've tried importing some models from Blender, but the scale would always be wrong. Scale is one which is actually kind of easy to do. So by default, Blender scale is in meters. So when you import a model from Blender or any other source that you know has been in Blender, usually what you say, and what I say in my tutorials, is I go 3D model and then auto size, right? I always say select auto size. If you know it came from Blender, and you know that Blender was using meters for its like scene units, like the units of the file, select meters rather than auto scale, and then it will come in at the exact scale which it was in Blender. If you export to FBX or other things, then you'll have oddities. Generally, I'm trying to sort of advise going away from FBX these days, head towards GLTF if you need to do avatars and animations and stuff. Blender works well as well, but Blender, it'll just like turn it into an FBX and GL, whatever. Try it though. I will be making a tutorial on it at some point, but until then, go into Blender, make a 1 meter by 1 meter cube in Blender, import it into Neos until you get a 1 meter by 1 meter cube in Neos. You can use the meter tip for that, and that will allow you to sort of see what size it is. And then you'll know what works. And the reason why I'm telling you to do it, even though I will make a tutorial at some point, is it'll give you a feel for what's going on. Like if you import a 1 meter by 1 meter cube and it comes in at 100 meters, then you're like, oh, I understand what's happening here. Neos or Blender or something in the middle here, for some reason, is making everything 100 times bigger. Like get a feel for your workflow. Spend time on your workflow as well. I know sometimes the temptation is like, well, if I do 3 hours work on each model, then I don't have to work on the workflow. Or you can just work on the workflow and then you don't need to spend that time every time. I think that was it for the Blender question. If any other Blender issues, you add more questions, you can. Rugaba says, it's possible to make a mod to lower the resolution of all active mirrors in Neos. It is. Please ask the modding community for that on the mod Discord. Just a quick reminder here, because people are talking about map makers not adding, you know, things like mirror options, stuff like that. If you go to Neos Essentials mirrors, there is a wide array of mirrors. The ones to the right usually have those menus in them. The ones to the left don't. So you pick one on the right, and then you can have automatic mirror resolution modifiers. Additionally, remember that we have the community sort of standards thing that is able to happen. We were able to do it with the colors for music. That was done. Most people use the same variables for that these days. Your avatar just works. Someone could write up a standard for cloud variables and stuff for resolution, right? And then it could be, hey, I am telling you the cloud variable resolution, scale, on-off state of mirrors in the world. And then you could save them. And you could do that. Be perfectly. You'd probably need to do that via group and call it, like, I don't know, G standards or something. I don't know, whatever. But, like, you could do it. It is within your power to do it. Should we, Neos, maybe have some standard cloud variables that you can hook into? Probably. But we don't currently. Where are we? Fuzzy asks, is there a page about the non-standard standard stuff? Yeah. Let me get it for you. It's a complete mess, but like, I've been meaning to tidy it up. If I tidy it up, it starts looking like official, and I don't want it to be official because it's not official. But there's some stuff there. That has just got, it's mostly audio and like audio color stuff. So, all right, we've got some more questions. Does Neos support displaying SVG files? Don't remember, gonna say no. Make an issue on the GitHub if you'd like to see that. Rickabus also asks, how variables work in Logix? Again, that really does depend on the avenue that you're after. So please try elaborating on the question, see if you can make it any sort of more detailed, and I'll be able to answer that one. Otherwise, it's a bit sort of too vague. You know, that could be, how do variables synchronize, which is a 20-minute explanation, or how do you write a variable, which is like a 30-second explanation. Like, if you expand your question, I can help you out better. How to read and write the variables. Ah, yeah, okay, there we go. So there's various ways to do that, and it depends on the type of variable that you're using. The thing that you need to remember is the most fields. Like every time, for example, every time we see a number, that's probably an int or a float field. Sometimes it's a double and some other weird ones. Don't worry about it. But it's usually a float or an integer. And that is a variable, and you can write to it. If it's part of a component, you'll need to use the logic interface card. If it's in logics, then you can use the nodes for that. Those are in variable storage value register and then int or float, whatever type you want there. And then you can use the write node to write to those. But you can also use the write node to write to those logics interface cards. They're all variables and you can all write to them. If that didn't make sense, then I would suggest taking a look at the introduction to logics. There's a very good video by Basement Nerd, sorry. There is also one by Business Lawyer. It's a little bit older now, so you can try both of those. Yeah, like pretty much every single time you see a text box of some kind where you can type in a number or a letter or a type or anything like that, it's a variable and there's various ways to do it. Jack Al asks if you import vector files, does anyone know what it is? No, we don't support. With that, we are at 7:30. I'm going to go ahead and say 777 Vaku. If you have a question, please continue typing it. Or give us if you have a question, continue typing it. But it'll be the only two additional questions that I take for this office hour period. Whilst I wait for those, I'll just make noises and get a question. Rigoba says, how does the Neos database... I had the database corrupted yesterday, and I was wondering how Neos stores data. Something like a SQLite database. It is a SQLite database. I believe it's NoSQLite. I don't remember. It might just be... the point being is that there is a local database, LightDB, that's the one. It's a NoSQL, SQLite style thingy. It's basically a file, and the file is a database that can be queried by Neos, and it and what we do is we say, hey database, where is Rafe's face text? Where is the texture for Rafe's face? And the database goes, it is here. And that here that I'm talking about is usually a file path on your computer. And then it picks up from the computer and goes, here you go, I'm now rendering Rafe's face. And we don't need to re-download it from the internet because we had it stored locally in the cache. When the database corrupts, it means that that file, that light database, has corrupted and we can't read from it. And therefore, we don't know what's going on. We can't figure out where those files are. And that's what happens when it gets corrupted. And that's why we need to repair it. When we repair it, we switch from sort of interrogating it as a database. We switch to interrogating it as... a file that has a problem, we fix that problem if we can, and then we go back to interrogating it as a database. It is time. I will allow Ergobus's expanded question because it is related to the previous one. And I said I'd allow some vacu stuff, so I'll read that even though I don't think it's a question. I don't see a question mark at least. I'll read it in just a second. So they say, how does Neos store the local cache? Thank you. I understand. Thank you. How does Neos store the local cache? The local cache is stored as a bunch of files. You can go just look at them. There are a bunch of files. They are sort of encrypted, but it's not like encryption that would be used for anything security related. It's more sort of partially organizational, partially encryption. The Light database itself is also encrypted, but again, it's not military-grade encryption. Just a sideline, by the way, if you see a VPN advert that's talking about military-grade encryption, yeah, your browser already uses it. Don't buy a VPN if you just want military-grade encryption, because your browser already does it. Anyway, point being, there is a little bit of encryption involved, but it's not strong, and it's not designed to be strong. As for how it stores it, it's just files on your computer. And then 77Faku said, they had an idea in the back of mind for AI interrogations, for example, having a fairy guy that can listen in on command and help out with things like logics and other RAID functions. Do it. I would love it. Lots of people talking about getting documentation into games, and into Neos being quite interesting, and stuff like that is one way that it could be done. We're not quite sure how we're going to do it, but when we do that, you'll see what's going on. I'd love it if there was, a way to like click on a logics node and it popped up like the information about it, videos, pictures, guides, etc. You could even directly like spawn examples of how to use it in the world, all sorts of cool stuff like that to come up at some point. With that, I believe we're at the end of office hours. So I'm going to go ahead and leave off here, and I will speak to you later. Bye-bye.